Welcome to the Making a Runner podcast. I'm your host, Nick, a running specialist, biokineticist, and coach.
And I'm your co-host, Davey, aka Davey on the Run, a running enthusiast, influencer, and marathoner, and I love everything about running.
As passionate runners, we look to use our knowledge and draw on past experiences to provide you with cutting-edge science and insightful information.
We are going to be unpacking the fascinating topic of running with all-stars, subject matter experts, and everyday enthusiasts to not only help you improve your running, but also ensure that you experience maximum joy with every step that lies ahead in your journey, wherever that may take you.
This is how runners are made.
It's how runners are made, baby.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Gijima.
Gijima.
Yeah.
It's Gijima. Jumanji.
Gijima. It means run.
It means to run.
Yeah.
It's been just really amazing to work with an organization that really shares the same heart as us, which is to really empower the whole person. It's not just about the running.
And that must feel nice for Coach Beckham to see someone that he has coached become the young coach and now coach someone else. That must feel very fulfilling for you.
Yeah, it is. Because you know what Miss Lindy taught us is that you need to be like a channel.
Yes.
Yeah, whatever that you receive, you need to be able to give
to
it.
To pass it
yeah,
on.
Yeah, to pass it on.
Because the word passion means willing to die for, literally. So if you're passionate about something, it demands all your life, really.
It is hard to say. Maybe this is going to be the elude Kipchoge of the mountains.
You reckon?
Yeah, you got it.
I think
you
so,
heard
yeah.
it here first.
Before we begin today, Making a Runner was born out of a passion for running, but we wouldn't be able to bring you these awesome conversations without the support of our sponsors. I know that the day-to-day running of my online coaching business, or Davey's social media presence, would not be possible without high-quality internet. Cool Ideas is a fantastic internet service provider offering ISP solutions throughout South Africa. They have been voted number one internet service provider for the last 2 years running, and they are ready to provide you with a high-speed, unthrottled, and uncapped internet connection. Just like us, providing you fantastic running knowledge, Cool Ideas pride themselves in providing the best customer support, and that's why they hold the My Broadband title for best customer services. I strongly recommend taking a look at their website, that's www.coolideas.co.za today, and check coverage for your area. So, guys, we are here with the Live to Run Foundation, Live to Run Running Club. We've got Coach Beckham and Sinobuyo. Very excited to have you guys here with us today. You know, making a runner against all odds, that's what I want to chat about today. And I think you guys are the right people to talk to. Obviously we want to get into your backgrounds. We want to find out about more for our listeners to get an idea of you as an individual and also the community that you run with. And your goals and aspirations going forward. In studio today, we also have Lindy from, she's the founder of the Live to Run Club. And, we're going to chat to her a little bit about the community element of it and the hardships that our runners go through to become elite level runners in this country that's so full of talent. So I want to just start off with Sinobuyo, who after
the mountain bullet.
The mountain bullet.
I love that.
maybe you can tell us why are you the mountain bullet?
Sure. dude, call me the mountain bullet because they say I'm the strongest in the mountains.
Oh, there we go. That makes
pretty
sense.
Self-explanatory.
So, what would that make you, Davey? I reckon you
the mountain BB gun, the mountain water pistol,
weak mountain. So, bullet, tell us a little bit about your running past. Where did you start? Where did you find the deep love for running?
Oh, I started running when I was still at school. It's where I would say I started like feeling in love with running when I was still like in younger grade.
Mm-hmm.
It's when I was like out of school, when I feel like I was like, oh, okay, I finished school now. So what am I going to do now? Like, I'm not going to do running anymore. And then it's when I like meet the Live to Run.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's where they found me when I was like, No more running.
So they came in at the perfect time. It was just meant to be.
Yeah.
Sort of like when Davey's about to give up.
Sort of like when I found you.
This weekend, Davey got lost on one of our runs and he was about to give up. I thought he was never going to come back. I thought he was going to be lost in Clue forever.
I was.
I was going to have to send out a search party.
I was saved by Marathon Matt.
He came through. So, you know, it's amazing how life puts things in your way at the time where you need the most, even when you're not looking for them.
Yeah.
So from what I've seen through the Gajima documentary, and I want to give it a shout because that's extremely inspirational, and it's easy to find for anyone on YouTube, and I'm sure we can put a link of it after the conversation on our podcast as well. You had a bit of a hardship growing up as well.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about that before the running?
Yeah, I would say growing up, it wasn't easy. Yeah, it wasn't easy. Like, even at home, my mom wasn't working. So it wasn't, like, easy for us to get something to eat. And we have to, like, find something to eat. Even, like, some of the days, there will be no food sure. at home. So
yeah.
Even at school, there were sometimes in and out of school because of, like, the school fees. My mom couldn't, like, pay school fees because he wasn't working. And, you know, me and my sisters wasn't like having like certificates of birth because my mom wasn't having an ID. Mm. So it was in and out of school. So
you basically didn't exist.
So it was like I wasn't existing.
And how does that, you know, affect you mentally? Obviously, I mean, finding one's identity and all of that, you know, knowing who you are, but also, I mean, in Gajima, you said it's like you didn't even exist.
It was bad. It was really bad. I couldn't even like when I'm like with another children, I couldn't like feel like I'm existing because when it's like I am the person like to engage with people. So
yeah.
In some of the time I would feel like I'm not a person with these people. I'm just another thing. Sure.
Yeah. So I mean, and then also I learned something very interesting in the podcast was I think it was at the end when it goes in Zulu you say Sawubona. Which means I see you, I acknowledge you, you are important. I didn't even know that, so that was actually a little beautiful insight. But yeah, it must have been very difficult for you, obviously, just you know, having that lack of identity. But then would you say, you know, during your hardship and everything that you went through, running was sort of what led you to a brighter future, what kept you motivated or gave you that purpose in life?
I would say running, it kept me like, it's kept me growing because when I'm running is where I feel like yeah I am a human being. It's mm-hmm. where even I have a stress when it's where it's reduced to like to feel like okay
yeah.
Well, I'm good when I'm like I'm running. I feel myself again.
I get goosebumps when he says yeah. that because I mean so many people, I mean, we've interviewed and spoke with a few people, elite athletes, you know, who you kind of chat to them and you get like a different side of running, you know, with the elite athletes who some of them run, you know, more for a living and it's, you know, I mean, Nick and I love running. I love running, you know, it makes me feel how you feel, I believe. It gives you, you know, that sense of purpose, makes you feel alive. It really is for me. The best feeling in the world. So it's really nice to hear that. Obviously, you also really just love running and you're flipping good at it. So that's.
But I think the important take home there is that it's the great lever. Doesn't matter where you come from,
yeah.
what you've done with your life, where you're going with your life, who you are, who you have been, who your parents were, what your growing background was. When you're on the road, you're on the road. When you're running with the people that you're running with, it's you, the road, and the people that you're running with. That's the beauty about it. So sure. Kind of cancels out any disadvantages that people may have had in getting to that level. And, you know, that's where I'd like to bring Beckham into the conversation here a little bit. From your side of it, in terms of the coaching element of it, you must see this on a day-to-day basis where you're getting guys like Sinavuyo coming through not knowing their true potential and sort of finding a home within that community.
Yeah. I'd say this guy next to me, Sinavuyo, has inspired a lot of people. And I think it's not only him that has got this background, but I think all those people that are looking up to him, I think now they can see that things are happening, things are possible. You know, looking at Sinavuyo's movie and the way that he grew up. So, yeah, because in life, there are worse situations, and they're, I'd say, lighter situations than Wes. So there are people who are like at situations, but not Wes as we, as Snowwheels, I would put it that way.
Yeah.
Not as bad as Snowwheels. So now it has enlightened them that, okay, yeah, life is possible. There are opportunities. If you just stick to what you love and what you want, I think you can go further in life.
No, yeah, for sure. That's an amazing take home point. And I think, like you say, so many people can learn from that. And I mean, you haven't quite gotten into one of the reasons why, you know, your upbringing was so difficult, but you do mention it in the documentary. I mean, you lost your father when you were a very young boy. And then you also ended up losing your mother when you were just a teenager.
Yeah.
And then your uncle essentially, not your biological uncle, but, you know, took you in and allowed you and sort of to thrive into what you wanted to do with your life,
sure,
which had a massive element of running. Am I correct in where I'm going with this?
Yes, you are very correct.
So this is all in the movie, guys. I'm not just, so I do recommend watching it, but it is quite an incredible story of this tenacity and what it has brought you in. What was incredible is obviously you went and ran the Otter African Trail Run, which is a beautiful race. I was actually telling Sinawuyo off air, I would like to do it one day. And, you know, it's an extremely difficult race. I thought we didn't have mountains around us to race, but these guys tell me that there are the mountains. We won't quite share the details on air, so otherwise you might get a lot of people coming to your mountains to take your routes. But how did the training for that go? How was that all experience with Ryan? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, the experience with Ryan, it was incredible, man. He's just the amazing guy to meet. He's an amazing guy to give the information. To meet Ryan said it was good for me. It says make me grow in pace of running, because since I met him, I've been like growing in my running, even like in my achieving goals. I've been like achieving some races because it's been like helping me, helping with the program. How to, when you like, when you're close to the race, how to like to shift your mind.
Yeah. It's that experience.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah. I mean, a guy like him is so deeply experienced in anything trail.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, coach, can you tell us a bit about your background in terms of where you come from? And, you know, I know doing the stuff that we worked on today. So for those listening, we did a little bit of like a gait analysis. We did a bit of a greet and meet. We went over a couple of drills. So that was quite a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And we got to see Beckham's, past of, being a track athlete and star coming to haunt him a little bit with his long distance running. So tell us a little bit about your background before we continue with that conversation, Sinubuyo. Just, you know, where did that all start? When did you say, coaching is something that I love to do, and how did you get into the position that you're in now?
I just have to ask quickly, we know Mountain Bullet, and please elaborate, Coach Beckham.
I think, yeah, I will get into that.
Because I'm dying to know. We're all just brushing over Coach Beckham.
Hopefully you can bend it like Beckham in the top corner. That's what I believe.
I think what got me into this athletics industry. Before then I was playing soccer. Yeah, I was playing soccer a while ago while I was living in rural areas. So after that, and I came to Pietermaritzburg, and that's when I like stepped before going to soccer. I ran. Yeah. I ran. I was a kid, but it did not mean too much to me because the background of where I was coming from, they were like more soccer players than runners.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, but that changed. It was like overnight. That changed. So some like massive runners because of the Comrades Marathon.
Yes.
So yeah, there were like many runners in the community. And then when I switched over to PMB, there were more places to train because in rural areas, you can only train on the road and it's not much safe. So when I came to PMB, that's when I started being involved more into athletics. Yeah. And then, but while I was also playing football at that time, I was playing for a team called Real Kings. It was playing on the second division. So I twisted my ankle there. But then, and then when I healed from that one, I decided, you know what, because I never got the support that I wanted when I was injured. Yeah. So I couldn't go back again. So I started running in 2009 up until 2016. So I've been making the KZN team and, yeah, obtaining some medals in the
You were saying 400 meter, 800 meter.
Yes, I was a specialist at 400 meters and 800 meters. Yeah. So after that, you know, before I got a coach, I was training all by myself and my other friends. So now there was an opportunity for me to go and do the coaching course. My coach at that time provided an opportunity for us, all athletes. Not all of us went there. But because I knew the feeling of not having a coach, but you having a talent and a capability to run. So I said, you know what, it's okay. I can give up my career on running and then I can maybe do the coaching course and then help all the athletes, the young ones that do not have coaches, so that they can go and reach the higher stage. The one that I never got to.
Yeah.
I think that could have reflected my goal as well, because I always wanted to run, like to be an elite runner, you know. So now grooming a child to be an elite runner is what like I'm looking forward to do in every way.
It's incredible, you know, because I think as an athlete, we all are born with a predetermined level of ability, you know.
We've
spoken about this in some of our other podcasts, and you know, you can train really hard and push a little bit past that ability and become really good at what you can do, but you're always going to be predetermined. I mean, you're never going to be able to run a two hour marathon best marathon today is a 3 hour marathon. It's just not in your genes. But that's the beauty of, you know, what you've done is you've realized that, you've realized where your limitations were, but also how much you had to give to the people around you. Yeah. And in going and doing the extra education and becoming a coach, obviously you get to empower so many individuals. And I think that's where you come in with the Live to Run Club. Tell us, before we move on with the story, Coach Beckham, is that related to the free kick ability or tell us?
Yes.
It is, eh?
yes,
it is.
Yes,
so you still try bend a few on that field at Live, or not so much anymore?
Yeah, I still do sometimes whenever I have like spare time, yeah. That's why.
it's amazing. We hear the story a lot, eh? Coming from soccer. Prodigal was the same thing. Yeah. Also, soccer, got injured, then went into running.
Even me, got injured,
Nick stopped playing soccer.
I think he was a soccer player before.
And then I went into running. It's amazing. Did you play soccer, Sinewio?
I did a little bit at school, but so it wasn't my thing.
You were always more of a runner, eh? Yeah. Running is always more
I was neither
thing.
A soccer player or a runner. So
Davy was a goalkeeper.
I was a goalkeeper.
He was the guy that you put in goals because you don't want him anywhere else in the field.
That's a lie.
Those guys are very important.
They're important.
The last defense of the team.
Sinobuyo. To go back to the Otter Trail,
so
you obviously got a lot of mentorship from Ryan Sands, and he was obviously there on the day that you ran your race as well. Tell us a little bit about the race. Maybe there's some of our listeners that would like to do the Otter Trail.
I would like to know where you placed, but just out of curiosity, because I didn't see that.
Oh, I end up like 20.
20, amazing.
Yeah, I end up like.
Well, and that was your first competitive.
Yeah, it was my first, like, biggest race, yeah.
Unbelievable. And that's a very competitive field.
Yeah.
When did Ryan come in that?
He came second, yeah.
Okay.
And your experience of the day, you say you're going back there now, you're training for it again, you want to go back. But how was that first one? What could have gone better? What did you love about it?
Did you like running on the beach?
I
don't think anybody likes running on the beach.
I would say for me, because like I always love nature, so outside is a very incredible race. It's beautiful running there. So when you finish it, it's like you want to do it again.
For anybody that's listening and doesn't know Otter, how far is that race?
It's a 42 race.
42 kilometers.
Yeah, 42 kilometers.
Okay.
But it's a grueling 42.
Grueling 42.
Up and down.
I've heard it's one of the hardest trail races.
Yeah.
Well, in that distance. Is that just because of the terrain? Lots of like rocks and sand.
Yeah, loose gravel.
Because, I mean, there's stairs. The one clip of you jumping over rock. That doesn't look very easy.
And river crossings.
Crossings.
Yeah, it's very
we love
technical.
A river crossing, hey.
Navy cannot cross a river, guys. This guy,
his coordination levels are not great. So, you know, you saw where, in that clip where you were hitting the rocks, you were going up and over. This guy would have been in the water a really long time, I can tell you.
No, man, like, if you can train for it, you can do it.
Yeah. How do you train for a river crossing? Tell us.
You need to, like, learn to cross the river. that's the thing.
Straight. There's nowhere around
there's
it.
There's nowhere I'll cross the river.
Okay. So did you do some river crossing trainings? Let me ask you this. Did Ryan teach you how to cross a river?
No, he, like, he didn't teach me.
Yeah, you forgot about that.
He didn't teach me, but he took me from the start to the finish, like, how's the otter like? So if you, like, you train for otter, you have to be specific for otter. You have to have in your training, you have to, like, rocky run, stairs,
yeah,
river crossing, all of those things. You have to be there on your training program.
So he did prepare you.
He told me about it. Might be a few rivers.
So now how is the preparation for the otter this year going for you?
For this year, we haven't, like, started, but, like, okay. We're going to, like, I don't know when coach is going to start it, but hey, I can put
you're looking at Coach Beckham over here.
Just to jump in there. Yeah, we haven't, like, started being specific to otter. Yeah. It's because there's that time when athletes peaks. So
there's
there's still time.
When is otter?
It's on the 9th of, October.
Oh, you got time.
Yeah. So we still got
a bit of time.
Yeah.
But you're feeling fit, Mr. Bullet.
I would say, yeah, I'm fit for now, but I don't think I'm fit for otter. Okay. Otter is like, it's a
different kind of fitness.
Yeah, I mean, like.
Well, you know, if you're doing any of those long training runs with some river crossings, you must just give us a shout and we'll bring Davey and we'll make him cross the river and then you can have some entertainment for the day as well. Okay.
Sure.
You must take us on some of those routes by Undead Way. Okay.
Okay.
I look forward to it.
And Tom will. Because we usually stick at our training program. I mean, our training according to the goal race.
Yes.
And in between, we have, like, build up races.
So what other races have you done? I saw that you did UTD.
Yes, we did UTD. Really? And we did.
We started doing by DNC.
DNC, yeah. Yes.
And how did the DNT go?
I would say it went very well.
Yeah.
Because last time I got lost. But the second time I came back, I would have smashed it.
So for those listening, DNT, Drakensberg Northern
Trail.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sorry, Davey.
I'm trying to figure it out.
And then UTD, Ultra Trail Drakensberg.
Okay.
What distances did you do?
It's a 42 race. It's 42 kilometers.
Yeah.
DNC, yeah.
Is that the one that you won?
Yeah, yes, that's one.
So you weren't going to tell us that. You were just going to say, yeah, it went very well.
He said, I would say it went very well.
So you won that one. Was that your first win in a race like that?
Yeah, it was my first biggest race to win it.
That's exciting.
Yeah, it was exciting because I've been, like, training for 3 years, not winning the biggest races. Well, it was like my first race too. Biggest race to win.
So now you must believe that you've got what it takes to take on these big races.
I do believe, man.
And so you say mainly you've been doing 42s.
Yeah.
Are you planning on going, longer?
I did the 50 mile, Kakru 50 mile.
Okay. Oh, so you did Kakru.
I did the Kakru 50 mile and...
Second place?
No, I came fifth.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Brilliant. And now I hear that you've also gone into coaching as well. So you're the assistant coach at Live to Run. Am I correct?
Yeah, I am the assistant coach because, like, when you run as an athlete, you want to give it away what you have to the young ones.
Yeah.
You don't have to, like, just hold it on your own. Just give it away to the young ones to see what you are learning is like. You can see to somebody, let's say, okay, what I'm learning, there's someone that's achieving what I'm giving to him.
You can pass that on.
I can pass that on, yeah.
And that must feel nice for Coach Beckham to see someone that he has coached become the young coach and now coach someone else. That must feel very fulfilling for you.
Yeah, it is. Because you know what Miss Lindy taught us is that you need to be like a channel.
Yes.
Yeah, whatever that you receive, you need to be able to to give
to
it,
pass it
yeah,
on.
To pass it on to the people that are following Brilliant. You or to other people as well. So that
wow. So yeah. I mean, speaking of Miss Lindy, I think it's time we bring her into the conversation, don't you guys think? I think she's been sitting on the side, just hand gesturing. I think signals. She's very excited. So let's bring Lindy on the conversation. So, Miss Lindy.
Lindy.
We have you on the mic now, so you can tell us a little bit more about yourself. And perhaps the way to start is, you're the founder of Live to Run.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about it.
Wow. That's a very broad question.
A little bit. Just a little snippet.
In 30 seconds,
we're going to unpack it.
Okay. So I am obviously a runner, and I think a way to sort of tagline it would be purpose to passion. I was obviously a runner myself, did a lot of cross country, a lot of road running, did biathlon, triathlon, was involved in all that. And yeah, I think like Beckham as well, I got to a stage where I was like, I think I've done this for myself and I'd like to actually now make it happen for others. So I think in a nutshell to start, that's kind of what happened.
That's fantastic. And I mean, live. Tell us a little bit about Live as a foundation for the listeners that don't know about it. Cause I think obviously there's a lot that people can learn about the foundation. And I mean, with our listeners, hopefully someone can come through and even support the foundation in any way, shape or form.
For sure.
So let's give them a bit of background on Live.
I'd love to do that. So I came to Live Village about seven and a half years ago. I'm actually an accountant by degree. So I came in and was working in the finance department doing the sort of buying and distribution of food and groceries. So Live Village is a cluster foster care space where we receive kids from the Department of Social Development into a place of safety. And we have about 180 kids living on the village at the moment. And the kids are placed in a home with a foster mother. And they're cared for. There's a school on the village. There's a health care medical facility on the village, and the offices and the marketing and the finance department are also on the village. So we really like, wow. I say to people, it's kind of like a mini estate in Matlabatini.
It does feel like it when you go in. It's like they take your security. Your details, you got a security, and you drive into this beautiful village, which is, it's a very great, it's an awesome setup.
Yeah.
And I mean, how does it all happen financially wise? Is it a lot of support from the communities around you? Is it privatized? How does that work?
No, it's not privatized. So basically, the village was actually funded by the government. So the actual structure, the buildings and things, but the running and the operations of the village is done purely by donations and support. So it is a super stressful, space. And specifically, obviously, having navigated the sort of two and a half years going through COVID, was very hectic for the village itself. So Live to Run itself is a department of Live Village. So that's how we fit in. And we are based in the school. So we sit at the school and then we work with, we sit with the other sports coaches of Live Village School, but we actually a separate department. So as the founder, I am also the fundraiser. So I fundraise my own salary, Beckham's salary and Snowwheel's salary, as well as our department budget. So we don't actually financially draw any money from the village.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's
a totally separate entity almost.
Pretty much, yeah. We're seen as a non-core part of the village. You know, the clothing and the feeding of the children is the core vision.
Unfortunately, a nice to have almost,
yeah.
But you are basically an ASA-affiliated running club.
Yes, we are.
And is it only in Verulam, or is it spread across the country, or how does that work?
At the moment, we actually seem to be exploding.
Okay.
Amazing. So, I mean, that is almost the role of a visionary, is to try and see the big picture, and then how do the sort of small parts fit into the big picture. So we are at this stage, when you pioneer something, things are constantly changing. You know, what is the bigger vision? What is the bigger picture? Mm. Where are we actually going? What are we actually doing? I mean, we've been in track and field, we've done road running, we've done comrades, and we've actually now settled on cross country and trail running. So that is what we focused on. We're also in partnership with Salomon South Africa, who have been incredible. And
clearly.
I think
the guys in the studio are kitted out by Salomon.
Head to toe. So they're incredible. And it's been just really amazing to work with an organization that really shares the same heart as us, which is to really empower the whole person. It's not just about the running. There's some exciting stuff in the pipeline. I'll say watch this space. Awesome. Can't give anything away for now.
We'll definitely be following it. And then as we get the information, we're going to be feeding it on to our listeners. But I mean, it must, like you said, it must be highly stressful.
It is.
Yeah. And I mean, how do you deal with the everyday struggles? I mean, Sinabuyo's struggles of, say, not having ID, so he couldn't enter races. I mean, that must be just another thing that you deal with on a day-to-day basis. I mean, what are other examples of issues that you deal with your athletes in particular that wouldn't necessarily be normal issues that every day other clubs would run into?
Yeah, I think I was actually chatting to the Pantani coach at the cross country on Saturday, and we were just discussing the level of input it takes to raise one athlete. You know, and I think there's very few people that understand what it takes to actually just bring up one or grow one athlete or develop one athlete. It's an incredible amount of work that goes on behind the scenes. And you know, an athlete can't run if stuff's not okay at home. You know, an athlete can't run if they can't transport themselves to training.
Yeah.
And so you're really looking after the whole person, you know. There's so much that affects your running. It's not, you know, your mental state, your nutrition, your injuries, your access to opportunity. And then also just a lot of the kids that we work with have had absolutely no conditioning. So it takes us, you know, coach works with the kids, and it takes us about 2 years to actually just develop an athlete to you know, just proprioceptors, strength, conditioning. As a buyer, I'm sure you understand.
Yeah, no, it's a hell of a job what you're doing. Yeah. And I mean, we see it on a small scale, like I was mentioning to you with the sponsored runners that we have at our club. And I personally find the biggest difficulty on our end is mostly transport.
Yes,
I mean,
we're not
dealing with children, so we're dealing with grown ups who generally have a home, they have work, but it's the transport that's the biggest issue. And if they don't have transport, they can't get to training. So now you're relying on them to doing the training by themselves, and now trying to get them to places and from places.
Definitely.
It's a big administrative nightmare.
It is.
And I can only imagine from your end when you are dealing with a whole bunch of children that have other problems on top of that as well.
Yeah.
It's just an added stress. So let me ask you the question, and it's a question that we ask a lot of the coaches that come on the podcast, and it's related to underprivileged children in South Africa, the potential of running, and how we as South African coaches or running clubs, we're not tapping into that potential fully.
Definitely.
Why is that? I mean, we've talked about the barriers. Now that we know the barriers, why aren't more people like you putting forward the time and the work? Is it just, it's just too much time, too much effort?
No, I think there's a lack of knowledge. I think there's an absolute ignorance of, and the gap between guys living, say, for instance, in Ndwedwe and someone living in Simbiti.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about the geographical distance. I'm talking about the life distance. Yeah. It's too big. And so people living in Simbiti have absolutely no idea what's happening with someone living in Ndwedwe. And someone in Ndwedwe has absolutely no idea what it is to live in Simbiti. And so the gap there is just too wide, and you can't bridge it. And so people often say to me, like, what do you do? And I say, I'm a bridge. Because you're trying to bridge the gap between people, and you're trying to bring people together.
Bring the communities together.
Yeah, and I call it common unity or community when there's common unity. And so you want to...
I love
so
that.
So you want to... We call it... there's another a phrase for it, which is pretty cool. It's called proximity. You got to create spaces of proximity where you can be proximate, because we pretty much live together 24/7.
I mean, you can see.
So
Beckham tried sushi for the first time today.
I don't think he was given the choice. That looked pretty forced.
Good point.
And we actually have a video of it. Yeah. But at the end of it, he was struggling to pick it up with the chopsticks. So Lindy had it in her chopsticks, and he had his chopsticks stuck in the same piece of sushi. And
you could
somehow the sushi just ended in the mouth.
Yeah, you got the sense that you guys were comfortable with each other.
Yeah.
He didn't like it, though.
No, he did not.
He said he'll never have it again. Next time, Sinabuyo might have to try. We might have to go live.
The bullet doesn't like stepping out of his comfort zone.
Sometimes I like to take a little walk break up a steep hill just to make sure I keep my heart rate down, you know. Another thing that makes my heart rate race, though, is when I get really poor customer service. Cool Ideas pride themselves on their customer service, and they've been voted number one ISP in South Africa for the last 2 years running.
Hold on, let me just paint a picture here. So, Live Village.
Yeah.
do you guys stay at Le Village, or how does that work?
No, we stay in the just the local community around the village.
Around the village.
Yeah, I stayed in Mahlabatin, and Snovio stays in Mona.
And then where does Live to Run train from?
The village.
The village itself. Yes. So anybody can rock up at the village and train with you guys?
No.
Nope.
So just to paint the picture a little bit clearer, so the village is seen as a place of safety. So we are governed by the Department of Social Development. So that's why you have to go through a security check on your way in. So we are under government to protect the children that live there. So I live and work at the village as a staff member.
Okay, so you live at the village.
Yeah, so I've been living there for 7 years now. And then these guys travel in from the community and our offices on the village. And then we train on the Live Village school grounds.
Okay.
So,
And Coach Beckham, when did you join Lindy at Live?
I joined Live to Run in 2020.
Okay.
Yeah, I can still remember the date and time.
Was it sunny or overcast?
It was sunny. It was in the morning.
Sunny with
it was
a good day.
Yeah.
and when you joined, you went straight into head coach position, or was there a coach there?
Should they hire you because you were Coach Beckham? They were like, this guy knows.
Before there was a guy coaching Pilani, Pilani Majola. He was the coach of Live to Run. We met with Lindy through him, So we were in Salka games, in the provincial games in Pietermaritzburg. So me and Coach Pilani, we grew up together. We went to the same school, coached by the same coach. So when he came to the side, as Miss Lindy said, that they wanted to expand Live to Run. So I was in a position to go to Live Lanseria in Joburg.
Okay.
Yeah, because there's another village in Lanseria.
Okay. Yeah, there are other villages.
Well, you must tell us about those other villages. We'll get on to that.
I was about to go there, and then, because now we wanted to expand this team first. So, we had a satellite we were about to open another club in Duetwe.
Okay.
The one that Snovio is leading there. So we were to open that one, and then COVID hits. So everything
struggle town.
Ended up not going to Johannesburg, and then I was just here. And then Coach Pilani got another job, one of the schools here in Palito.
I actually know Pilani.
Umshali.
I was wondering if it was the same guy that he's at Umshali. Brilliant. And I mean, talking about the community, right? You obviously a big mentor to these athletes, and that's a goal of yours that you had going into coaching, knowing that you would have that opportunity.
Yeah.
Do you think coming from that background, it allows you to have a better understanding of what they're going through and offer them opportunities to get out of their daily life situations? You know, it's difficult for someone, say, like we mentioned, you know, someone that lives in Zambezi. I know we're using Zambezi as an example. So, you know, let's call it Belito in general, because the greater Belito.
Yeah.
You know,
we don't need any lawsuits.
It's hard for them to relate. Mm. And like you're saying, it's that sense of distance. So for someone like you coming from that community, do you find that for those athletes it is easier to sort of follow you and find you as a mentor?
I'd say you need to gain their trust first, because I think it was a very quick switch over from being an athlete straight to being a coach and like a parent / parent, because I'm also a parent to those kids. So now to convince them that athletics or running can shape your life, you know. So working with Snovuyo, being there for them as well, so it makes everything more easier for me as well, so that I can relate that, okay, now you've seen Snovuyo's movie, and I know I may not know all your backgrounds, because some kids, there are some new kids and they are shy, so they cannot like always tell what's going on. So you can, but as an adult and as someone who has been there sometime before, so I can see sometimes. And Miss Lindy helps me a lot, as he's also like an elder on the club.
Elder, wow.
From wisdom.
My age is popping out here.
So,
wow.
I'm
the elder of the club.
The experience shining through.
Yeah.
How many kids are we talking about a part of the club?
We've got like three teams. So to say, yeah, to put it in that way. We've got, I mean, let me start with the snow wheels. We've got the other bullets.
Mini bullets.
Yeah, yeah. So we've got the, like, elite team. Those guys are the ones that are the ambassadors of the club, a role model of the young ones. So they, like, running is their first priority, so to say. And we've got A-team. A-team are people, are athletes that have said, you know what, I'm choosing running, not other in sporting codes. I'm just choosing running and I want to be like an elite athlete one day. And then we've got B-team. Mm. B-team are the juniors. So the ones that they are not sure yet. So they train less days a week. They train like 3 days a week.
Okay.
So we give them time or space to go to other sporting codes on the other days, because we don't want to like focus them more into running.
Yeah.
Cause yeah, we also develop some fundamental skills with the kids. So if the kid is good at like throwing, catching, then so we know where to divert that kid to, you know, other sporting codes. If they are good at like passing, dribbling, because we sometimes play soccer as the athlete. Yeah. So if the athlete loves that more than running, so then because we've got another sport at the Live Village, so we can maybe able to assist that athlete. We don't want to like keep athletes in the long run that will say, you know what, I've wasted 4 years of my life running.
Yeah.
I'm good at soccer. So in that way, so yeah, we've got different teams.
That's and it. How many kids are at the village? I don't think we answered that, did
it's
we?
It's about 180.
So how it works is, sorry to interrupt you, but yeah. How it works is Live to Run will feed off that pool of 180 kids as your running club.
We actually, it's changed a lot. Originally, when I started about 5 years ago, I worked with a lot of kids on the village, but sport is actually thriving at the village at the moment. And we're finding that a lot of the actual village kids are now trying team sports. So most of our kids are actually from the local community currently. And then, I think Beckham will carry on just explaining all the teams, but we work with the kids in the community, and then we also have the strength training group, which Bubs actually runs with the moms, with the foster moms.
So the kids from the community outside of village can come do this?
Yes. So that is specifically arranged via security. So their names are down at security, and then Beckham walks them home after training. Okay.
And then, but then talking about Live to Run in specific, you mentioned that not anyone can just come run with Live to Run. So
we select.
You select.
Yes.
So you take the kids that you have, you select to become part of the running program. Mm. Yes. Also the outside community, or is that just...
So there's many places we talent spot. So we talent spot at some of the local cross country stuff.
Okay.
We talent spot at, we have KZN trail running race at the village with Live to Run. I think it's the 15th of October this year.
Okay.
So we talent spotted there. We basically just forever
scouting.
Yeah. Okay. So it's a really select group of runners.
Yeah. And we also with Snowboyo's team, we actually held like a bit of a trial with a school up there. And so we invited via a connection at one of the schools there. We invited a massive pack of kids. We asked for a specific age group because we find if we get athletes too old, it's very difficult to develop them. So we're trying to sort of grab
kids younger ones,
12
well,
and 14.
That's what I wanted to ask. Is there sort of like an age limit to the kids that come into your...
No, there's not.
Okay.
We have, as we've learnt along the way, we definitely don't try and convert any comrades runners anymore. It's impossible. So we try, once a comrades runner, always a comrades runner. We can't get them off the road. So yeah, as we said, and the pure reason for that is we cannot support when we do things, we want to do them well. And so that's why we've decided to really focus on trail and cross country, because, you know, I'm the only driver at the moment. The guys are busy getting their driver's licenses, but we're literally driving every weekend to cross countries, to camps, to here, to there. So we don't want to spread ourselves so thin that we don't do anything well. And one of our values at the club is excellence. So we want to do things with excellence.
Well, I'll tell you what, you guys are doing a flipping incredible job.
Yeah.
A very important question is, anyone listening, how can other people help? You know, Live Village, Live to Run, I think, in specific, because obviously you guys, you know, are seen as a nice to have.
Yes.
Us being a running podcast, you know, if we were to focus on how can somebody listening help live to run and help the team, you know, how can they go about doing that?
Yeah. So just before, I'm glad I remembered this, just before, I just wanted to pick up on something you said earlier, that you said that you can see we all get along and we're all close. Yes. And I want to just pick up on that and say that I've always said to the guys, I don't want us to just be a club. Like there's many clubs out there, and why start another club? And so one of the things that we've really fought very hard for is unity between us, the three of us, because we are the leadership of the club essentially. And so we protect our unit very, very well. And if there's issues, we sort them out and we speak them out. So it's very important because everything flows from the head down. Mm. So whatever we carry, we pass on to the kids. And so we represent, it goes down into them. So we as a leadership team, it's the three of us basically. Yeah. We really, and we like a proper family. We fight about stuff. We get over it. We move on. We talk about stuff. So we're really fighting for that element of it so that we can raise not only an athlete, but a whole person.
You guys are fantastic role models to those kids in your care. Honestly, they are so fortunate to have people like you that have the knowledge and the passion.
Yeah.
I mean, the passion that it takes, and it's such a thankless task as well to be doing. You know, it's, yes, you get a lot of reward out of it and it's fantastic, but it goes through so many tough times. I can only imagine. Yeah. But wow, guys. And I mean, for Sina Vuyo to be a part of the team, entering the team, entering the picture from Liv and being one of those kids that has now grown into the position of, you know, leadership and mentorship. It's an incredible story, and what you guys are doing is spot on. I can only hope that you're able to grow it the way that you want to grow it into all the other communities. Because, I mean, even when I went to come and watch the Gejima premiere, the community that was there, I mean, they were so pumped. You should have heard those guys. They were so stoked. And then they were like questioning things, and they were asking this guy, when are you going to go and run the greatest race? When are you going to go and run Comrades? And everyone's like, hold on.
But when are you writing a book?
Yeah. When are you writing a book? They were getting so pumped. And it's just amazing the work that you're doing for that entire community. And I can only hope that you're able to expand that into other neighboring. Yeah. I mean, within Deadway. I mean, you have such talent coming from that area as well. I mean, it's known for its long distance running prowess, should we say.
Those Nyogas, the racing snakes.
Yeah, so I'm excited to chat a little bit about that when we get to Vuyo back on the mic. But just tell us a bit about if someone does want to help.
Yeah, and just to also add, to pick up on something earlier as well, just to say I didn't want to sort of offend anyone by saying that people don't know what's going on the other side, and it's not, because I've actually been absolutely blown away at people's hearts to be involved. It's not that people don't want to be involved or don't want to go into those places. It's that people haven't created spaces of proximity, because that's where you get to know on a close level how somebody else's life is, and it's very hard to cross the distance if there isn't a space of proximity. And that is what is so beautiful about the village, is we all get to live together. Yeah. I get to live together with 40 other staff that live on the village, and I can literally put my hand up my window and touch my neighbor's wall.
So it's that education, though, like you said.
Really, it's beautiful,
just, you know, just making that awareness and getting people aware of it. I think, you know, as you said, the moment people are aware of it, they'll do anything to help.
But also not just mentally aware, but to actually experience the proximity of being next to somebody else and living close to their life.
Mm.
That is what's missing in South Africa, I feel, at the moment. Yeah. There are spaces where it's happening, but not enough. And so, as Live to Run, you said, how can people get involved? I think one of the things that I've really been trusting for is just human resource, actually, because the three of us are just going for it, you know.
So is there space on your team? Is that what you're saying?
Just, I've actually brought two more guys on board and we meet with them once a week now. The first person is Chester Koyana. He's living up here. I'm not sure if anyone's heard of him. He actually used to work at the village. So I've brought him on. So we spend literally a whole day on a Monday just doing team building and sort of investing into each other as people. And then another guy called Bruce Wilson. So the two of them basically meet up with us on a Monday And so that's just bringing in a little bit of reinforcements. So when we make big decisions like, guys, what do you think of this? And Chester and Bruce really carry different gifts. So it's super helpful for me to just have sounding boards to make decisions.
Bounce ideas off of people.
Yeah. So one of the decisions that we've made lately is up until now, people have contacted me and said, hey, we want to be part of the team. We want to join because obviously we registered with KZN Athletics. Mm. And so up until now, we've only been a development team. So we only work with development athletes, which means they don't pay for their licenses. They don't pay for club kit. They don't really pay for anything. Don't pay for transport. We as a club support them in totality. So I've been trying to figure out like how do I how do I see the bigger picture on this? And so what we've done now is we've started something called the Live to Run Champions membership. So you're like a champion. So you championing on the rest of the rest. So basically that membership now is not a development membership, it's a champion membership. And so what you do is you pay 200 rand a month. So we've opened up our own SnapScan barcode. And so then people don't just want to be part of a running club. They actually want to be part of a bigger story. Mm-hmm. And so it's really kicked off from Snowwheel's movie where people are like, hey man, I'm literally getting emails and getting messages like every week of people that want to be involved. That's so what I'm saying. There's no lack of heart out there. It's incredible. And so they wanted to be involved. So what we're doing is saying, okay, well, if you want to be part of the club, then you can be on the champ. If you can afford to, you can be on the champions membership. You pay 200 rand a month. So the first couple of months it goes to paying off your annual license and your club kit. And after that, you're actually supporting
the runner,
someone in the club that can't afford to be a member.
That's brilliant.
So having said that, we had an amazing guy called James in Joburg, through a friend who's now launching Live to Run Joburg. And the entire membership is going to be Live to Run Champion. So he's got about.
Yes.
So Snowy and I are flying to Joburg on Thursday, this Thursday. And we're launching at Wanderers Club on Thursday evening, Live to Run Joburg. And they're expecting about 100 people at 200 rand a month. So we're expecting.
Wow, guys.
Hopefully.
That's amazing.
To get around 20,000 rand a month in sustainable.
Yeah.
The big thing is sustainable income. Yeah. You know, you can't. And you can't survive with these like chunks that are coming in or not coming in.
Yeah.
So you been trying to look of basically look for a way to get sustainable and that's kind of what. And then we've had guys this side saying, hey, we want to. And I was like, okay, well, we've got this champions membership. Mm. If you're interested, they said, yes, please, we'd love to. But yeah, we're still working out all the details of like you being part of the club. But what are we, you know, what, how can you actually be involved? So. Yeah. We are looking at sort of being more involved on the North Coast, specifically with Holler Trails. So we are going to have a space there where guys can come to the, you know, Salomon are running a weekly time trial there on a Tuesday. I think, is it still a Tuesday? I think after COVID, it's still a Tuesday. 5:30, yeah. So we're going to be coming through every second Tuesday for that for the rest of this year, possibly more so next year. And so guys that are part of the champions membership can come and be part of, physically part of
The club.
The club that side.
And where can we find
and the, meet the guys that they're actually supporting?
Yes. And where can we find the Zapper?
I haven't actually launched it this time.
SnapScan.
It's a SnapScan, yeah. Yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah, but we're Zapper, in KZN. Zapper doesn't no, it works. So basically the reason I went with SnapScan, Zapper doesn't offer a monthly recurring option at the moment.
Okay.
So with SnapScan, you can download the app and you just tick
you commit to
25th
it,
on the month, every
you
month.
You have to download SnapScan.
So, yeah, we literally, this is like fresh off the press. We're just launching in Joburg. We literally haven't even launched guys. In KZN yet.
That's unbelievable.
That's brilliant. You know, that sponsorship or championing program is such a smart idea, to be honest. It's, you know, we've also with our local running club, we've been looking about, you know, how can we support the sponsored runners program or how can we tier it into like you guys doing, like having an elite, you know, a secondary batch and then just like a regular sponsorship that, you know, you get your club kit and your race is paid for, but like your elite guys are fully taken care of. But, you know, a championing program, there's many guys that would be wanting from the club, you know, to be a part of that and knowing that that's going directly towards supporting the other runners. That's, it's a
and
fantastic idea.
We want people to really feel part of it. So, you know, from KZN side, you know, the guys can come join us running and meet some of the guys at Holler. Cool. Joburg side, they're setting up a group there. They're a bunch of mates, basically, that run together. And we're going to be, at this stage, you know, there is a Live Lanceria. You asked about the other villages. But a Live to Run doesn't really come about until the sort of groundbreaker or the champion person arrives.
You also need a Lindy Sinawuyo and Coach Beckham.
Pretty much. Yeah, pretty much. And it's tough because, and it's not an easy thing to find, you know, because we had someone there and they sort of were there 2 or 3 years and then stopped. So that thing tests you, you know.
Yeah.
So when people come to me and say, we've got a guy at the moment in Grahamstown, at Live Grahamstown, who wants to start a Live to Run. So we're starting the process with him, but we really try and sort of go at a slow pace to see if he's really
the right guy,
the right person. And do you really, really want to do this? Because passion is really key. Yeah. Because the word passion means willing to die for, literally. So if you're passionate about something, it demands all your life, really.
You guys are certainly passionate about what you're doing. That's for sure.
Yeah.
And as you said, it is demanding your whole life.
It is, yeah. You put it all in.
But what you're getting out is far greater than anything quantifiable.
Yeah. So, well, that's another one of our values, is legacy. So we hope to leave a legacy.
Yeah. You certainly are doing that, guys. I want to bring the conversation back to Sinawuyo. The center man in Gijima.
Gijima.
What?
Kujami.
It's Gijima.
Gijima.
Yeah.
It's Gijima. Jumanji.
Gijima. It means run.
It means to run.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was very good.
All right. So tell me, what are you talking about when you talk about running?
Sure. That's it. Well, when you talk about running,
because it's simple and complicated.
Yeah.
Am I not stealing your words here?
Yeah, I can see you're trying to steal my words. Sure.
So, guys, for those of you listening, that is how the movie starts. Those are the words of Sinawuyo. So he breaks down about how running can be simple and how running can be complicated.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, you absolutely love it.
Yeah, I grew up running. I always love running. It's part of my life, so there's no way around.
Tell me, where are we going to with this running? What's next for Sinawuyo?
Hey, I want to see Sinawuyo in some big races.
Uh-huh.
I want to travel somewhere, travel to the other worlds.
Uh-huh.
I want to see my limits of running, how it's going to go far.
Uh-huh.
I want to leave a legacy to the other ones, like, growing behind me.
Fantastic.
I want to inspire the young ones who come from the background I came from, because as I say in my movie, we come from a different background.
Yeah.
So I know maybe my background is not bad. It's not bad as other ones, but
it was pretty tough.
Yeah, it was tough.
So, coach, what do you think is the limit for this guy?
It's hard to tell. It's hard to say. It is hard to say. No, I think maybe this is going to be the Eliud Kipchoge of the mountains.
You reckon? Yeah,
man. You got it.
I think
you heard it here first.
The mountain bullet.
The mountain one.
So Ryan Sands, beware. That's all I'm going to say. Okay? That's all I'm going to say. I'm just going to leave that there.
He's got the talent.
Yeah.
He's got the passion.
If we're comparing him to Kipchoge.
Hey.
Yeah.
He's got the work.
Yeah.
The work ethic.
And his mind is on it.
His mind is strong.
Yeah.
That's all you need.
To be honest, when we were down at Ota, Miss Lindy was like, I don't think he will come. I don't think he will finish. I don't think. But at the back of her mind, he says again, Bullet is going to come now. I'm like, which is which? You know? Yeah. You
I was
sometimes
about the river.
I would also be.
Yeah. Because there's sometimes where you think, okay, I don't think this guy can do this, and then it's the easiest thing that he had ever done. You know,
he does it.
Yeah, so he just does it easy. So yeah, it's hard to tell if he's got any limits. I think only time will tell. But yeah,
I mean, in those images when you were finishing, you looked like you just started.
Yeah.
You looked fresh. You smiled. You were done.
Funny enough, halfway mark, we calling him, come, here's water. Have some water. Have something to eat. And he's like, no, I'm fine. I'm going. said, the other athletes are leaving. He said, yeah, but they all came through the water station. You're just going off. And then he's like, you know, I'm fine. And then, yeah, we forced him to take some potatoes. And then he only took potatoes. I don't know if it was like two or three. And then he went off. He was fine. So
we know he's got a strong mind. How strong is your mind? Tell me, are you going to get back to running soon? Because I'm hearing Lindy here. She's saying that you haven't gone for a while. Eh? We saw that running gate today. I said, run easy. You were like, run? Run easy. You didn't know what was the difference between a 10K pace, 400 meter pace, or a slow pace.
I've been lazy myself.
You've been lazy,
yeah? Yeah, I've been lazy. But yeah, I think,
at least he can admit it.
Yeah, my last race was in April, yeah, UTD.
Oh, you did UTD
as
well?
Yes, I did UTD for the first time.
I've been lazy. I just did UTD.
Yeah, I did UTD at 32 kilometers, yeah.
Yeah.
I came position 6.
Okay.
Yeah, overall. And it was my first longest distance ever.
Yeah.
As my background in trails.
400 meters to 32Ks.
Yeah, so it was. And what I liked about trails, and I mean, it was like, yeah, from the track to trails. Because I haven't done so much in the road. Mm. It was the jogs and the training. So I think trails are there to test your mind.
For sure. You
can be able to, you know, to go beyond your limits or to reach a certain height, you know, in believing as well. So I think, yeah, they challenge you a lot. They challenge you a lot. One day, these guys invited me before I joined Live to Run to a camp in Drakensberg. So we ran from Monk's Cowl to Blind Man's Corner.
And yeah,
for the first time, it was like, I don't know, it was 12 kilometers up.
Up the Sphinx, around the Sphinx.
Up and down 12. So yeah, it tests you a lot. And that got me thinking, you know what, I want to do more of the trails. Because I could believe in myself that, you know what, I can do it. And running the 32 also made me believe I can do the 42 now. So
okay.
I'm hoping after the 42 kilometers that I will be running, I don't know when, but yeah,
okay.
Soon, I think, yeah, I'll be able to run the 50 miler.
Okay.
As this guy did, you know, from a 21 straight to 80 kilometers.
So I think Coach Sinovuyo over here needs to put you on a plan and make sure that you have a goal to get to, because it sounds like a lot of, I must do this and I must do this. But you know, you said the mind is strong, hey? You
yeah.
gotta just stick to it and do it. So Coach, please help Coach Beckham here.
The guys already got it.
Okay. All right.
We already
right.
got it, because like, I always like try to hold him on to come and train with me. Sometimes he comes, sometimes
it's a mission. It's a mission.
It was once when we did the long run together, and then the guy was out. When he came back from the long run, he was like, I need something to eat now.
He was done.
It was done.
I was up and down at his house. Where's food, man?
So next time we do a podcast, I wanna hear the story of how you've come back now and you've come to your 50 miler, 100 miler distance, dark places in the head, and you've gotten through them and you stuck by it. Okay,
sure.
That's what I wanna hear.
The 50 mile, the jumping stage, man. You need to like maybe improve the quality.
Take it easy.
Is that realistic? So Sinovuyo, Gijima.
Yes.
Did I have it right? Gijima.
Yes, man.
All right.
Talking to me.
Tell me, over and above the immediate impact that it's had on your life, how is it impacting your life going forward? Miss Lindy here is telling us some great stories of what's coming next. Where is that going? I hear you're going into public speaking now.
The movie has impacted a lot in my life. Sure. Yeah.
You're getting onto flights for the first time?
For the first time flying to Cape Town.
To Cape Town. Yes, sir.
To speak to the people.
Speak to the people of Sanlam.
Of the Sanlam.
That's a small company, eh?
I've never heard of them.
Sure, never heard of Sanlam. So straight to the top.
It's like aeroplane, just straight to the top.
Ah, well done. Well done, man.
Yeah.
And are you excited?
I am excited. I'm excited because I always want to share my life with the people. So talking to the people is one of the things that I want to share. How far have I come?
Well, yeah. It's Miss Lindy's whole speech of community, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're bringing a community to them.
I'm trying to bring the community together, man. Sure.
And you are an incredible individual.
You guys
individual.
Are all doing
you guys
such a
are
great
all
job.
Incredible. Guys, it's been so fantastic to have you on here with us today.
Thank you.
I think, yeah, it's gobsmacking. I mean, I would 100% recommend everybody that listens to this goes. It's
only 14 minutes long.
It's 14 minutes long.
It grips you. And it's just, it really is a must-see.
And it's also great to just put a face behind these voices that you heard here today, because there are some very friendly faces. And we really look forward to seeing this team grow across the country and doing the fantastic work that you're doing. Just thank you so much to what you're doing for runners all over the country. You're a true inspiration.
We really look forward to seeing where you guys go. We'll also be posting the champion initiative, or the, what do we refer to it again as?
It's the champions membership to Live to Run.
The champions once membership. Lily has all the details for us.
Once I've caught up with my admin.
Yes, we'll put that through, because that is really such a great way to support.
Thank you.
But we can't wait to see where this goes, guys. And thank you for everything that you're doing to the running community.
Yeah. All the best.
And just to say, in the meantime, we do post everything on social media. So it's kind of like a visual diary.
Uh-huh. So, and that social is?
Lived with the number 2. run.southafrica
at livetorun.southafrica.
Yeah,
there it is, guys.
This episode of Making a Runner was proudly brought to you by Cool Ideas. If you're tired of getting to run around with your current internet service provider and would like to feel valued as a customer, make sure to check them out on www.coolideas.co.za. This is the top tip I'll leave you with today.
Once again, guys, thank you so much for listening to another episode of Making a Runner. If you enjoy this podcast, you can listen to it on Spotify, Apple Music, and Radio Life and Style.
And don't forget to give us a follow on Instagram at Making a Runner to follow the journey of our guests and our podcast and catch up on the latest news.
Bye for now.
Cheers, guys.